1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you had your bulletin provided to you this morning, there is a message guide in that. You're welcome to use that if you wish. Otherwise, you can turn the back and it's completely blank. So you can use that for notes and other things that might come to your heart and mind this morning. In 1 Corinthians 11, it is a familiar passage, and that's why we're taking a little bit more time going through it, because we want to spend a little more time in such a familiar passage, dig a little deeper in some of the truths and the concepts and the ideas that are there. But we've been looking specifically at the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper that is given to us and prescribed for us here in 1 Corinthians 11. And the reason why we're doing so is because the Corinthian church, they were actually experiencing some problems. They were not participating in this ordinance, in this institution, in the right way. In fact, what God meant to help feed their souls, they were using to feed their flesh. And it really was not anything what God had meant it to be. I'd like to begin by reading this entire passage, beginning in verse 20, and then we're going to focus on just a few more verses of this very familiar but very important passage. Begin verse 20 through the rest of the chapter. We read Paul again saying, "When you come together, therefore, into one place, as we have done here today, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. You may have been coming for this purpose, but it is not taking place. You are not participating in the Lord's Supper the way you ought to." Why? Because verse 21, "For in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken." In other words, you're eating your own meals and you're not really celebrating the Lord's Supper. Verse 22, "What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." What should have been a time of fellowship and a time of unity was really continuing to perpetuate the sectarianism and the division that was in that church. And then he explains to us what the Lord's Supper is all about. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Verses 20 and 22, which we just read and what we've looked at a couple weeks ago, Paul identified the problem. The problem was that they were not participating in this ordinance, the Lord's Supper, in the right and proper way. And then Paul explains what the Lord's Supper is all about. We looked at this last week, how the bread represents the body of Christ. The cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we come to the table the way God intends, we are able to grow in our fellowship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. The table is all about fellowship. The supper is all about fellowship and uniting ourselves with our Savior in a close and intimate and a personal way. Never forget that personal invitation that Jesus Christ extends in these verses to you, to have real fellowship with Him. So, after explaining what the Lord's Supper entails in verses 23 through 26, what we find in the text this morning, verses 27 through 30, Paul explains how we are to participate in the Lord's Supper. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We saw the what last week. We're going to look at the how this week. And as we do, I want us to examine our own hearts. And I want us to examine our own motives when we approach the Lord's Supper, particularly, but also as we come to the Lord to worship Him at any time. And today is a time of worship. Whenever we come together to worship Him in a place like this, we ought to consider our motives and the manner in which we do so, because as we do so, the nature of God and the nature of worship and the nature of even the Lord's Supper, it demands the right response and the right kind of worship from every Christian and every church. So today we need to examine ourselves and our response to the Lord whenever we worship Him, and especially when we come to Him in the Lord's Supper. The first thing that we're going to see here in verses 27 through 30 is the significant nature of the Lord's Supper. The significant nature of the Lord's Supper. What makes the Lord's Supper so significant to us as Christians? Well, it's because it is something that is so special. It is so special. We need to remember that the Lord's Supper is something very special. We see in verse 27 how we are to come to the Lord's Supper and really any kind of worship. He says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Beginning here in this verse, Paul begins to explain how we should participate and how we should not participate in the Lord's Supper. And in doing so, he is reminding us of the significant nature of the Lord's Supper. It is something to be special for us. It's something special because the Lord's Supper, we must never forget, is about a special person. We must always remember this. The Lord's Supper is all about a special person. And in verse 27, the very first word that he uses, wherefore, with that word, he is telling us to look back at something. He's telling us to look back at verse 26 and reminds us of who this special person is. He reminds us why Jesus gave us the Lord's Supper in the first place. So let's look back at verse 26. Because when he says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, he's pointing back to verse 26 to remind us the special person that it's all about. He says, for as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. You see, this is why we do it. This is why we worship him. This is why we have the celebration of the Lord's Supper. It's we are showing the Lord's death till he come. The Lord's Supper is about a special person. The Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship that he offers to everyone who comes to him through faith. And the Lord's Supper is the time for every one of his people to remember Jesus, to remember his great mission and sacrifice for sin, to remember Jesus and to reveal his love to others, to rejoice in Jesus and even look forward to his second coming. We are showing the Lord's death till he come. And it is because the Lord's Supper is about that special person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper is also calling for a special practice. How we are to come to this Lord's table. How we are to worship him in this way. You see, we are to worship him in his way or no way at all. We are to worship him and celebrate the Lord's Supper in his way or no way. So we come back to verse 27. He says, wherefore? In other words, because the Lord's Supper is all about Jesus, that special person. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. You see, there is a special way in which we are to come to the Lord's Supper. There is a special manner in which we are to celebrate and participate by eating the bread and drinking that cup. We are to do so in a worthy manner, and we are not to do so in an unworthy manner. So what does it mean to eat and drink unworthily? Well, it simply means to participate in the Lord's Supper in a way and in a manner that doesn't please the Lord. In a way that doesn't please the Lord. It's not dealing with our value and our personal worth, because the fact is, we are all unworthy to come to the Lord's Supper, aren't we? We really are. We are all sinners saved by grace. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all failed, and we all continue to fail the Lord. So if it really came down to us being worthy or unworthy, then we would never eat of the Lord's Supper table. So it's not talking about that, because the Lord's Supper is a time where we do see our worthlessness and our unworthiness. So what is it talking about here? Well, we come to the Lord's Supper primarily to remember and celebrate the value and worth of Jesus Christ. He is our special person. He is the one that we remember and look to. It's not just remembering our insignificance and our own worthlessness. It's celebrating the value and worth of Christ. But the fact of our unworthiness to participate in the Lord's Supper ought to impact how we do participate in the Lord's Supper. Our unworthiness to come to this table is something that ought to impact how we do come to this table. When we come to the table, we come in faith. Not faith in our own worth, but in Christ's worth. And that's what it means to come in a worthy manner. We come in love, knowing that if we have been forgiven much, we ought to love much. And this church was not coming out of love for Christ, but rather out of love for themselves. They were coming to the table out of their love for their food and love for their belly and their love for other things rather than their love for the Lord. It's kind of like the church in Ephesus when Jesus wrote to them in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. He said, "Nevertheless, I have something against you because you have left your first love." And sometimes we, in our own lives and in our own church, we have left our first love, and that too is coming to the Lord's table in an unworthy fashion. But we ought to also come in thankfulness and gratefulness for all that Jesus has done and continues to do for us. You see, because the Lord's Supper is all about a special person, it calls for a special practice. We are to eat and drink in a way that is worthy of our Savior. We do so in faith. We do so in love. We do so in thankfulness. And we remember that, as it says in Revelation 5:12, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." To come unworthily means that we're not thinking of Christ at all. To come worthily, we're thinking of Christ. And we're coming in faith to Him. And when we see our worthlessness, we remember His value and His worth. And we come with thanksgiving in our hearts because He is the one who invited us and made the way for us. But you know, the Lord's Supper can also have a special problem. We see this problem in verse 27. This problem is seen when we participate in the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. In verse 27 again, it says, "Wherefore, because this supper is about a special person, the Lord Jesus, that we looked at in verse 26, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, in a way that is not fitting and befit of the worth and the value of Christ," here's the special problem. "They shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." The problem is, if we do participate in the Lord's Supper in a way that is not fitting, in a way that is not worthy of the Lord Jesus, we're sinning. And we are experiencing a very serious guilt. One of the reasons why we have the Lord's Supper is to remind ourselves of what Jesus went through on the cross. Our minds should go back and think about when He was arrested, when He was taken to the cross, and when He was ultimately crucified. But all through that trial, all through that Passion Week, we know that He was scorned and mocked and ridiculed by the crowds. He wasn't just mocked by the priests. He wasn't just ridiculed by the politicians like Pontius Pilate. But even the people as well. Even one of the prisoners, one of those thieves on the cross, ridiculed the Lord. And the idea here in verse 27 is that when we participate in the Lord's Supper in a way that is unworthy, in a way that is unfitting and dishonoring to the Lord because we're thinking more of ourselves rather than Him, it's as if we are scorning and mocking and ridiculing the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross as well. I think there are too many churches that come to the Lord's table in such a flippant and frivolous way that they forget this challenge, they forget this warning. And they are actually mocking and ridiculing what the Lord is doing. This last week I saw a particular video on YouTube that was very grieving. You might have heard the YouTube sensation about the Harlem Shake. Anybody hear that at all? The Harlem Shake is basically a song where everybody gets kind of dances their own dance to. It's something that has kind of taken the world by storm. They play a little clip of the song and one person's doing a dance and all of a sudden it continues the song and then everybody's just acting wild. It's something that you expect the world to do. It's something you expect to see in the world. But it grieved me to no end when I saw in a church facility a YouTube video of these people doing this, what they call the Harlem Shake. If you haven't seen it, don't bother. But there was a man who was portraying himself to be Jesus. and there was a cross, and he was on the cross with just a loincloth on. And there was someone doing a little dance over here while they were doing it, and then all of a sudden they cut the camera, and then everybody was just doing wild stuff, and there was the figure of Jesus doing this to someone that was supposed to be someone like the devil. Now, they were not celebrating the Lord's Supper, but they were supposed to be doing some kind of worship, it seems. Of course, for them, it was all fun and games. It was all something that they were just probably a youth group having some fun. They were approaching the Lord in an unworthy manner, not something that is fitting Him. And they're making a mockery and a ridicule. It's as if they were part of the crowd mocking the Lord Jesus as He is heading down to the cross to die on the cross for our sin. So we need to examine ourselves as well. We need to examine ourselves when we come to the Lord, whenever we worship, and whenever we come to the Lord's table, because it is something special. It is something truly special. And the question that we need to assess in our lives as we examine ourselves, is worship special to you? Is the Lord's Supper special to you? Because is Jesus Christ special to you? The Lord's Supper and worship as a whole is all about the most special person in all the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about us. It's not about others. It's not even about appealing to the world. It's all about Him. And because we are not deserving of anything that He has done for us and anything that He has offered to us, we can only come to Him in faith and in love and in thankfulness. And that is the right way. And that is the right manner to come in worship and approach the Lord's Supper. You see, the nature of the Lord's Supper demands the right response from each one of us. The nature of the Lord's Supper is significant and special, and it demands a response that is in faith and in love and in thankfulness. The second thing that we see in these verses is the searching nature of the Lord's Supper. The searching nature of the Lord's Supper. Not only must we remember that the Lord's Supper is something that is so special, but it is also a time of searching and examination. We see this in verse 28, and we often mention this during the time of our Lord's Supper, but it's something very important for us to consider even today. He says, "But let a man examine himself." In other words, make sure that you're not approaching the Lord's Supper in a frivolous and light way, in a way that is unworthy. Instead, examine yourself and make sure you're not doing it that way. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. This verse, verse 28, tells us that the point of this personal examination, the searching nature of the Lord's Supper, is not to prevent you from participating in the Lord's Supper. This searching, this examination, this investigation of our walk and our relationship with Christ is not to prevent you from participating in the Lord's Supper, but to prepare you to participate in the Lord's Supper. That's why usually a week before we have the Lord's Supper, we let you know. We might even put in the bulletin some verses or maybe some pamphlets that might help you understand a little bit more about it, and to prepare our minds and our hearts and our lives before God so that we can approach it in a worthy fashion, in love and in faith and in appreciation for what He's done. And so the Lord's Supper and this examination is not to prevent you from doing it, but to prepare you to do it. You need to remember that Jesus desires fellowship with His people. Jesus wants you to have fellowship with Him. And He has given us the Lord's Supper and other times of worship to grow in our fellowship with Him. If you remember back in verse 24, when Jesus said, "Take, eat." And it's implied also in verse 25 when He talks about the cup. He's saying, "Drink, drink. Take it and drink it." And when He does so, He is inviting us to Himself. And He's bringing us to Himself. He's inviting you to have that fellowship with Him. And so what is this searching nature of the Lord's Supper all about? If it's not to prevent us, if it's to prepare us to participate, what is it all about? It's about a proper inspection. He says, "But let a man examine himself." Let a man examine himself. There are times when we as Christians need to assess our own walk and personal relationship with Him. But what are we looking for in ourselves? What are we looking for? Are we looking for any sort of worthiness to approach? No, because we already know that we aren't worth coming to this thing without the Lord Jesus working in our life. I think there's some questions that we are to answer when we're examining ourselves. The first question is, who am I? in relation to Jesus Christ. Who am I? He is the one that makes this table worth coming to. He is the one that makes us worthy to approach it in that way. So we need to ask this question and assess this question, who am I? It means that we need to understand our own wickedness and our own worthlessness. So we do need to realize who we are before God. But then we need to have an understanding of Christ's own righteousness and infinite worth. I think Paul puts it this way very clearly in Romans 7:24. Remember when he was talking about sort of the frustration he felt when he was looking at his own conscience and his own life and that war that goes on in his soul? In Romans 7:24, he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He was examining himself. He was understanding who he was apart from Christ and apart from what he did for him. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And this is part of that examination process. When we come to the Lord's table, we ought to think, "Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But you know what happens when we assess ourselves and examine ourselves in this way? It brings us right back to the foot of the cross. Because Paul then said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, He is the one that can deliver us from our worthlessness. He is the one that can deliver us from our sinfulness. He is the one who can deliver us from ourselves. So ask yourself, who am I in relation to Jesus Christ? Is He your Savior? Is He the one who you are trusting? Is He the one who you are having fellowship with in worship and in the Lord's Supper? But then another question to assess is this: how am I? How am I coming to worship, and how am I specifically coming to the Lord's Supper? There are times where we need to be like David and ask Him, and according to Psalm 139, verse 23, "Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We need to think about who we are. We need to think about how we are coming to worship and how we are coming to the Lord's Supper. But whenever we do so, be sure that that examination and that inspection brings you back to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. We ought to do this every time we have the Lord's Supper. But we also ought to do that every time we come to Him in worship. Every time we come through those doors. Every time we come and sing these songs. Every time we open up this Word. We need to be brought back to the foot of the cross. And realize that He did that for us so we could have fellowship with Him. It's not just about a proper inspection, though. It is also about a proper intention. He goes on in verse 28 and says, "But let a man examine himself, and so." Those two words describe the same humble manner of examination and exaltation of Christ. This is how we are to participate in the Lord's Supper, in that process of examination. You see, the purpose of that inspection is to bring us back to our Savior. He is the one who forgives us. He is the one who cleanses us. He is the one who sanctifies us. He is the one that uses us. If we come and inspect ourselves and it never drives us back to Christ, it didn't do its job. This passage reminds me of how we ought to approach the Lord's table. I appreciate Brother John who gave the lesson, the message at our Kindred Care service last week. He spoke on Psalm 103. And those first five verses are how we ought to come to the Lord's table. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." So when it comes to worship and it comes to the Lord's table, we ought to come. We ought to come and bless the Lord and worship the Lord. That's why He says, "Examine yourself, and so let Him come. Let Him come. Come to the Lord in full surrender to Him and full submission to Him, and then have a proper involvement in the Lord's Supper itself." He says, "So let Him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Do so. Again, the whole point of the Lord's Supper is an invitation of Christ to have fellowship with Him. What an opportunity to enjoy the sweet fellowship that He has offered to every single one of His people. Again, the point of this personal examination is not to prevent you from participation in the Lord's Supper, but it is to prepare you to participate in the Lord's Supper. So get involved with it. Get involved with it. I remember as a boy, I looked forward to the day where I could participate in the Lord's Supper, but I didn't have a great understanding. I didn't have a full understanding. When, you know, we had the little cups just like we do here, and I remember as people would put the cups down, and my parents would put the cups down, as a child, I would stick my finger in the cup, and I would get a little bit of that liquid grape juice, and I'd stick it up to my tongue. And I wasn't doing so in a worthy manner. Why? Because I didn't have any idea what I was doing. I didn't have any idea what it was about. After I came to know the Lord as my Savior, after I understood the importance of obeying Him through baptism, and after understanding the importance of having a personal walk and relationship with Him, I understood that when I eat that bread and when I drink that cup, it is as if I am participating and taking God up on the offer of fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. And it is a physical way for me to appreciate and to extend my gratitude for all that He's done for me. And that is what it is, to take it in a worthy fashion. And there are so many Christians, for fear of doing so in an unworthy fashion, they say, I'm not going to do it at all. And they are not enjoying the sweet fellowship and the invitation that God offers. You see, the time of inspection, the time of examination that we often do have during our time of the Lord's Supper is a time for you to get that right. And come with faith and love and appreciation and ask God, say, God, I do trust Jesus. And I realize that my sins are forgiven. And I am coming to you thinking not of myself or not of others and what they might think of me. But I'm coming thinking of you and your sacrifice and your worthiness. And when you do so, you can come with a clear conscience. And you can come and participate in that fellowship that He offers. Take Him up on His invitation. Take Him up on His invitation. It's like Paul and Marie who gave us an invitation for their wedding. You know, I know a bunch of you have already signed up, and it's not too late to do that. But with that invitation, they said, we want you to come to our wedding. We want you to come to our wedding. And those of you who can, you've taken them up on that offer, and you're looking forward to it. You won't regret it. I guarantee you won't regret it, because there'll be a wonderful time of fellowship with people there, and rejoicing and fellowshipping with Paul and Marie at their wedding. The Lord's Supper is an invitation as well. And if you do so, and you come with that right heart and that right spirit and that right attitude, and you do so in a worthy fashion, in a way that is fitting for Him, you will not regret it. You will not regret it. So get involved with it. Take Him up on His invitation and examine yourself. Examine yourself that when you come to the Lord to worship, when you come to the Lord's Supper, are you letting the Lord speak to you through His Word? Are you letting Him search you and try you? The phrase, let a man examine himself, is not a suggestion. It is, in fact, a command. It's an imperative. What we are to do is to go to Jesus, whose shed blood that we celebrate through the cup, whose shed blood is a fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. If we have sin in our life and uncleanness in our life, who can we go to but the blood that was shed for us? The nature of the Lord's Supper demands a right response from each one of us. It's a time of searching. So we ought to respond to what we find in ourself by trusting in what we find in Jesus and renew that close fellowship with Him. But then we come to verse 29 and 30. We see a third thing, a third nature of this Lord's Supper, and that is the serious nature of the Lord's Supper. Again, the serious nature of the Lord's Supper. It is also a time, not just of examination and inspection, but also a time of thinking and a time of consideration of even the consequences of not having the right approach. He goes back and talks about this unworthy way of doing the Lord's Supper. In verse 29, he says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment or damnation to himself. Because they're not discerning, they're not differentiating the Lord's body and this table from their regular meal. And for this cause, he says, many are weak and sickly among you. That's church. And many sleep. Euphemistically, that means that there's a lot of people that have passed away because they have not celebrated the Lord's Supper in the right way. We've already looked at how the Corinthian church was approaching the Lord's Supper, and they were approaching His worship in a frivolous way, in a trivial way. They failed to consider the serious consequences that they were experiencing as a church. There were people that were sick. There were people that were frail. There were people that had passed away because of how they were celebrating the Lord's Supper, or should I say not celebrating the Lord's Supper. And these verses really do serve as a warning to any Christian and to any church that approaches the Lord's Supper in particular, and really approaches any form of worship in such a lighthearted and inappropriate way, like I mentioned to you before, through that Harlem Shake. You see, whenever we approach the Lord, whether in worship or in the Lord's Supper, we need to think about some things concerning the Lord. We ought to think about His pleasure and His displeasure. When His people worship Him unworthily, that means when we come to Him without faith, when we come to Him without love, when we come to Him without gratitude and thankfulness, when we come to Him without humility, when we come to Him without a heart that is focused on Him, then we are doing so unworthily. We are going to experience the displeasure of the Lord. He goes on in verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself." Damnation can be translated in our translation, and perhaps some of the ones that you have, translated judgment. If a Christian or a church approaches God in a trivial or a frivolous way, especially for the Lord's Supper, they're just asking for trouble. They're asking for trouble. They are inviting the punishment and judgment of God on themselves because they're displeasing Him. Now, this judgment is described for us in verse 32, where it says, "When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." So the judgment and the punishment that a Christian receives is different than the judgment and the punishment that an unbeliever will receive. But God still often corrects His people and chastens them through personal problems and even personal pain in this life. For example, there were people that would be sick because of this. There were people that passed away because of this. And that's why we ought to seek to please God in all that we do. Back in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it said, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Especially when it comes to the Lord's Supper. Especially when it comes to any kind of worship, do it all to the glory of God. We need to consider what pleases the Lord and what displeases the Lord as we approach Him in worship. But we also need to think about and consider the difference of the Lord. The difference of the Lord. He goes on in verse 29 and says, "He that eats and drinks unworthily, eats and drinks judgment to himself." Why? Because you're not discerning the Lord's body. You're not thinking about the difference that there is between the Lord's Supper and any other supper that you might eat as a person. There is and ought to be a difference between a normal supper that you have at home and the Lord's Supper that you have with the church. There is and ought to be a difference between the worship of the world and the worship of the Lord, because the Lord's Supper is part of worship. There is and ought to be a difference between the world and the church. You're not discerning the Lord and His body. But when we come to worship the Lord, or when we come to the Lord's Supper without discerning those differences and maintaining those differences, we're not bringing glory to the Lord. And when that happens, we may then experience what we find in verse 30, the discipline of the Lord. The discipline of the Lord. He says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Because of how some of the Christians in the Corinthian church approach God in worship, because of how many Christians in the Corinthian church approach the Lord's Supper, God brought discipline and judgment on them. It's interesting because that word "many" is used twice in verse 30. Many. We don't know how big this church is. We are not even sure how this church was arranged. But He says not just a few, not just some, but many. Many of you. Because you are participating in the Lord's Supper and worship in an unworthy fashion, many of you are weak and sickly. And many of you sleep, it says. You see, God brought this discipline and judgment on them because of how they approached God in worship and in the Lord's Supper. He judged them in the form of sickness, to weak and sickly. He judged them even in the form of death. Many sleep. So the question is, does God take worship seriously? Does God take worship seriously? Absolutely. I mean, the first commandment out of 10 deals with His worship. You shall have no other gods before Me. But you also remember back in Leviticus, of course, we know that Aaron was Moses' brother, and we all know that there was this God instituting the form of sacrifice and worship. But some of Aaron's own sons, Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire before the Lord in worship to Him. Do you know what happened to them? Leviticus 10:2 says, "There came out a fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Does God take worship seriously? Absolutely. And so we need to examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves when we come to the Lord to worship. And when we come to the Lord's Supper, we need to think and consider the serious nature of worshiping God. Are we approaching Him in the right way? Are we approaching Him through His Son, Jesus Christ? I mean, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Me." We ought to approach Him by worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. We ought to approach Him in reverence and in love. We ought to approach Him by sowing to the Spirit and not sowing to the flesh. You see, the nature of the Lord's Supper demands the right response from each one of us as well. The Lord's Supper and the worship of the Lord is a serious matter. So we are to respond with this kind of worship. Like it says in Joshua 24:14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth." And this is how we are to approach the Lord. This is how we are to approach the Lord. In worship, but especially in context here in the Lord's Supper. The nature of the Lord's worship, the nature of the Lord's Supper demands the right response from each one of us. So examine yourself this morning. Examine yourself. Examine, is it special to you? Examine, is it a time of searching? And as you search, does it bring you back to the foot of the cross? And make sure that you understand the serious nature of worshiping the Lord, and make sure that you're doing it in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. Examine yourself. But let that examination draw you again and again and again to the foot of the cross. When we come to the cross, we remember two things. We remember that we are unworthy, but we remember that Jesus is worthy. And every time we find this examination, we ought to pray as David did in Psalm 51:10. And we could read the entire psalm. But in Psalm 51:10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And when you do that, you can come and worship and even participate in the Lord's Supper with a clean heart and a right spirit that Jesus Himself gives to you by His grace through faith. And then we don't have to concern ourselves and worry whether or not we are coming in an unworthy fashion. Because we are doing so. We are examining ourselves, and we are eating that bread and drinking that cup and having fellowship with our Savior Jesus Christ. So let's remember that the nature of the Lord's worship and even the nature of the Lord's Supper demands that kind of response from each one of His people. Remembering that we are unworthy, but that Jesus is. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I do pray that not just the time of the Lord's Supper, which we enjoyed a few weeks ago, but Lord, every time we come to worship You in this setting will be a time of examination, a time of examination and inspection. And Lord, I pray that it will be an inspection not just of how we are doing things, but even who we are. Are we in fact children of the Heavenly Father? Do we in fact have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we in fact have an interest in the saving power of the blood of Christ? And then, Lord, if we do, and we understand that by faith, faith alone in who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, we have that interest then Lord, I pray that that will impact how we worship. That will impact how we come to you, how we approach you in worship, and how we approach even the Lord's Supper. And so, Lord, help us to remember that the nature of the Lord, the nature of your worship, the nature of your supper demands the right response from us as your people. Worship is significant. It is something special, and it needs to be special in our life. Worship is something that is a time of examination. And so, Lord, I pray that as we do so, it'll bring us right back to the foot of the cross every single time, realizing that you are worthy. And then, Lord, I pray that it'll be a time of serious reflection, considering even the warnings that we have here in this passage, knowing that you do care about how you are approached in worship. And so, Lord, I pray that we will come to you seeking to worship you in the right way, in spirit and in truth. And so, Lord, I pray that as we remember this, Lord, I pray that the next time we come to the Lord's Supper especially, we will be ready for it. We will be ready to participate because this was not mentioned to prevent us from coming, but to prepare us to come. And so, Lord, I pray that every day is a day of preparation. A day of preparation of our walk and our relationship with you so that we will not worship you in an unworthy fashion. We will not come to the Lord's table in an unworthy way. So, Lord, I pray that you will search us and try us and know our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. Bring us back to Christ because we know that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And so through that, Lord, we experience that close walk and close personal fellowship and relationship with you. Oh, Lord, I pray that today there will be a renewal in our walk with you, a renewal and a revival in our relationship with you. That, Lord, we will worship you in a way that is fitting to you and worthy of you. That, Lord, we will remember you. And, Lord, when we see our shortcomings, when we understand our sins, and we remember our unworthiness, that we will immediately turn back to Jesus. Because He is the one who is worthy. He is the one who cleanses. He is the one who makes us prepared. He is the one who gives us that clean heart and gives us that right spirit so that we can walk day to day in a way that pleases you. So, Lord, I pray that you will bless this service, bless these words, bless these verses to our hearts, and help us to remember that the nature of worship and the nature of the Lord's Supper demands the right kind of response from your people. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.